Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the New Testament, Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. If you wish to read along, you can find this on page 78 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible in front of you. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Sharon Ringe is the New Testament Professor Emeritus at Wesley Seminary, which is where I got both my Master's of Divinity and my Doctorate in Ministry. She's describing a class that I recall well. I took the class that she was describing in 1997 or so. It was an introduction to interpretation of the Bible. You had to have taken church history and New Testament and Old Testament and a series of courses before you could take the class. And in early September 2001, she read two of the three parables that we're going to talk a little bit about today, which is the parables of the lost. And she was trying to focus with the group on the idea of joy, of how we might understand the joy that was there. And this early September conversation seemed to focus on what had been lost was things like car keys, wallets, credit cards, pets. The class ended, and they went off to go do their homework, and then the events of 9/11 happened. The events of 9/11. And you began to see on the television images, admittedly none of these students or Dr. Ringe had any friends that were in this category, but you began to see on the television stories about pictures that were put up. Lost. My wife Susan, she worked on the 93rd floor of Tower 1. Has anyone seen my brother Miguel with his picture there? Our daddy is missing, and a picture showing what he looked like and where he was. Now, I acknowledge way, way, way too rarely did this end up with a positive outcome, but there were some. There were some where people were able to see these pictures and say, this patient in the hospital who's been knocked out, we now know who this patient is, and they're able to call back. Dr. Ringe makes the point that that's for us what we need to understand, the nature of the joy that Jesus is talking about in this passage. It's not things like lost pets, lost wallets, lost keys. It's this idea of this profound joy that comes from what has been, you think, lost to the entire world, and all of a sudden it's restored to you. The two that Alan read focused on lost sheep and lost coins. Those are important. There's no question those are important. If you're a lower class, poor shepherd, a loss of one sheep might just make the difference between what it is that you have over the winter and over the period of time to survive. The woman who has the lost coin, this is her dowry. This is her dowry that in case something happens to her husband, this is her insurance policy for what's going to happen to her. So it's an important element. You can be joyful with a sheep being restored to the fold. You can be joyful with the coin being restored to the dowry. And then we get this gem, this third consecutive parable that Alan didn't read because most of us think we know it. Various names are given to it. Sometimes it's called the prodigal son. And that's true. That's true in part. It's called the prodigal son. Sometimes you hear it called a man had two sons. That's the way Jesus starts the parable. A man had two sons. But you could also think of it as the prodigal son, the loving father, and the son who just doesn't seem to get it. You could think about it perhaps that way. And we like it because the story is a story for our own times. We hear the story and we can either, we've experienced it ourselves or we know people that have experienced it. What does the son do, the younger son? He's entitled to a third of his father's estate the way the inheritance laws are. The older boy gets two-thirds and the younger boy gets a third. What does he do? He walks in and says, "Dad, I'm going to treat you now as if you're dead." How disrespectful can you get? And what does he do? He takes that money and goes off and lives in a dissolute lifestyle. But then in the parable that we didn't read, there's this wonderful word there. Then he came to himself. He came to his own recognition. He wakes up and recognizes what it is that he needs to do. And so he starts back home. Home. He is heading home again. And the father doesn't wait for the boy to show up. The father is looking out on the horizon and saying, "Where's my son? Where's my son?" And as soon as he sees him, he takes off looking for him. Doesn't wait for him to fall to his knees and say, "Father, against you and I have sinned. Forgive me." He doesn't do that. He instead anticipates this. Can you imagine the joy the father felt at that particular moment of now the son who has been lost has been found? It's like perhaps it would have been at 9/11 having a phone call from someone saying, "That picture I saw on the news this morning, your son, your husband, your daughter, your wife is here in this hospital and she's going to recover. He's going to recover." Can you imagine the joy that would have felt? That's the joy that the father feels in this. I like to tease a little bit that this day of joy was a good day for the father and the younger son, but it wasn't a particularly good day for the fatted calf. And it wasn't particularly a good day because he chose to make it not a good day for the older son. It's almost like the father has faced this situation where he's gotten one back, but now another one is going to declare himself lost. And why? Because he's indignant over the grace that has been shown to his younger brother. What does he say? He says, "I can't believe that this son of yours who spent his life on dissolute living and prostitutes," that's implied. He's making that one up. He doesn't know it for a fact. He's just guessing what may have happened. "But I can't believe that you did this, that you gave the fatted calf to him. I would have loved to have had a moment of celebration with my quality of life and how hard I worked for you." And what does the father say? The father says, "Son, everything I have is yours." And that's true. The younger son has already spent his inheritance. It's gone. Everything that the father has is indeed the possession that will go to the older boy. But what has been lost has been found. And he invites him to come in and celebrate. Jesus doesn't tell us the outcome. I'm not sure. I mean, that may be part of its charm, is that Jesus basically throws it out there for us and says, the younger son has returned. What was lost has been found. I now got this other son who appears to be lost as well. What do we do? What does he do? What this says to us in our 21st century is the fact that what Jesus was driving at with these three parables, these three consecutive parables, is the fact that we are to go to the lost of this world. What was the question that was being brought up? What was the observation that was being brought up by the Pharisees and other religious leaders? This Jesus sits down with sinners. Can you believe this? And what Jesus says is to them, scandalous. It's scandalous because he says, no, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually go seek out those that don't know God. I'm going to seek out those who need to come back to God. He even says it in the parable that was read by Alan, which focused on this idea of the fact that the joys of heaven is greater when one repents than the 99 who do not need to repent. So our endeavor here at Hilltop of being willing to leave our building, leave our walls, and go out into the world searching for those that are looking for a relationship with God is profoundly important, is profoundly biblical. We're doing exactly what God has called us to do. We're going out to seek the lost. We're going out to seek the lost in this world and welcome them back into a world of God's grace. People who might say, no, we need to focus internally here. We need to focus on the 99. What does Jesus say? No, we don't need to focus on the 99. We need to focus on the one. We could be like the older brother, standing off to the side, sort of indignant over God's grace, angry over the way God's grace is poured out. You could actually call this the prodigal father. He's the one that the older brother may think of generating wasteful generosity and kindness. That's what you could almost think of. That's the image that we need of God for this story. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are all joyful. Joyful in such a way that it almost knows no bounds when those who have been lost are returned. The story that Dr. Ringi told about 9/11 has been played out at various other times. There was a story about a young man in Canada whose brother had significant psychiatric issues. And one day he just disappeared. Just disappeared. And the brother just kept looking for him in the neighborhood and the region and in Toronto and kept it up and kept it up and kept it up. About 5 years later, he said, I still can't find my brother, but I'm gonna still continue to put things on the internet showing that my brother is lost. And he gets a call from a nurse in Brazil. He gets a call from a nurse in Brazil and says, I found your brother. He has made it here to Brazil in some kind of way. He wasn't healthy. He was sick and needed food and all that. But nonetheless, can you imagine the joy the brother felt of getting this call from Brazil that your brother that you thought was lost is alive and he brings him back? That's the joy that Jesus is hoping that we can experience on this. That's the joy that God is hoping we can experience on this, is to understand the profound, powerful joy that overwhelms heaven and should hopefully overwhelm us when someone who has been lost has been returned to the fold. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.